The Lord has brought us from a mighty long way. Certainly we thank him for blessing us to see this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, if you brought, us praise, give it to him. Come on, if you brought, us praise, give it to him. He brought us from a mighty long way, and I'm glad about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being present in this place one more time. Didn't have to do it, but you did. We thank you. Portion of health and strength, minds that sing, hearts fixed on you. Lord, it's preaching time. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Send your word as you send snow and rain from heaven to water the earth. Give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word come from you and will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Lord, I pray that you make us one. Pew, pulpit, choir, loft. Lord, balcony, make us one. That the word of your son's coming will be believed. Salvation will be given and received. Now, Father, I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Have your way for your glory and our good. And when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name's sake, we do pray. Amen. Come on, give him a 2024 praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Everyone to your feet, if you will. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, beginning with verse 1, Genesis 37. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the son of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. And one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the fields tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I have had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about tools God used to bring us into our destiny. Tools God used to bring us into our destiny. Particularly, I want to talk about the tool of animosity. The tool of animosity. Nothing can hinder the plan and purpose of God. For we are told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." We're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose." That nothing can hinder the purpose and plan of God. That God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what he intends to accomplish. That God weaves a web composed of many single threads into one united, orderly pattern as a whole, in which he is able to fulfill his purpose. That animosity is a thread in the web of life. Let me say to you, you can't avoid it. You can't get around it. You can't duck it. You can't avoid it. It's everywhere. It's at work. Animosity is at home. Animosity is on the highways. Animosity is at school. Animosity is in the universities. Animosity is even at church. That you cannot avoid animosity. That everybody, everyone is not going to like you and love you. Some people will hate you. Some people will have a problem with you, not because of some wrong you have done, but because of the right and the good that God is doing in your life. And according to Merriam-Webster dictionary, animosity is ill will or resentment tending toward active hostility. It's strong feelings of dislike or hatred. It is not always the result of something you have done evil or the response to a mistreatment of another. There are occasions when people will resent you for the right you do, and because of the blessings of God resting on your life. Literally, some of you are afraid to be blessed because you want everybody to like you. You're afraid to show the goodness of the Lord in your life because you know if you show or reveal the goodness of the Lord in your life, people will start hating on you. But animosity is a tool God used to bring us into our destiny. The steps of Joseph's life is set in Genesis 37. That here we see Joseph's path to greatness. That in the life of Joseph we see that greatness promised is not without pain and problems in possessing. In other words, possessing a promise is not easy. The path to greatness has problems, problematic people, pressure, persecution, and pain. Now, if you don't want to be prosperous, if you don't want to be blessed, don't press. Be content. Be complacent. But I'm here to tell you that the path to the fulfillment of God's promise is not without problems, problematic people, pressure, persecution, and pain. That the path of greatness is trying. Trotting the path requires tenacity, courage, commitment. That Joseph had his destiny revealed, had the path to his destiny was a mystery. But the destiny was revealed. In other words, God knew where he desired Joseph to be. But at the time of the dream, Joseph was not in the place, nor was he in the position. It required a process. Let me tell you what God won't do. God won't reveal every aspect of the process to you. He will reveal the end result, the destiny, where you will end up, how you will end out, how you will turn out. He will reveal that to you, but he won't tell you all of the crooks and the turns, the bends, the ups and the downs. Listen, you got to follow God by faith. Joseph is an example to us in how God leads us. Y'all have time for me to divulge from the text two simple points, and I'll leave you alone. Notice, first of all, you see the author of Joseph's dreams. Now, he didn't have these dreams because he ate the wrong food before falling asleep. You know, when I was younger, you know, I would get up and share my dreams, and often, you know, older people would ask me, well, what did you eat? No, these dreams were not the result of bad food before falling asleep. No, God offered the dreams. Notice verse 5, a clause, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Verse 9 says, and he dreamed yet another dream. God put Joseph to sleep to reveal his design for Joseph's life. Notice the prospect of the dream. The prospect of his advancement that God revealed to Joseph, the prospect of his life in such a way that his brothers, mother, and father would bow to him. That God's revelation was to Joseph through dreams. Notice verse 7, and behold, they were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, his sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream. You know, people really don't want to tolerate the first one. They had a problem with the first dream, and he had the audacity to have another dream and tell it. Oh, I wish I had the time to say to you, you can't tell everybody what you know God is getting ready to do for you. Because everybody that's smiling ain't happy. Do I have a witness? Because when God is getting ready to elevate you, it discomforts others. They're comfortable with you being on their level. I told y'all on watch night that I'm getting ready to go to a whole nother level. You think you couldn't stand Rogers in 2023? You didn't show enough. Because I'm getting ready for God to take me to a whole nother level. Look, y'all help me preach this sermon. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm getting ready to go to a whole nother level. '23 was good, but I'm looking for great. I'm getting ready to go to a whole other level. Joseph had the audacity to dream another dream and tell his brothers the dream. Behold, I have a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now, what's the word obeisance? The word obeisance means to prostrate in homage to royalty. See, you got to quit letting people make you simple and ordinary. You know, people say things like, you're a man just like, no, I'm not a man just like you are. I'm a child of God. Now, if you don't feel you somebody being a child of God, shame on you. God has done too much to save me for me to be somebody ordinary. I got royalty in my blood because I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. You ain't looking at no average person. You ain't looking at no average preacher. You ain't looking at no average personality.
I got the blood of the Lord on me. I'm royal. That's why he says we are of the royal priesthood. That it means to prostrate in homage to royalty. So God, by way of the dreams, showed Joseph his position and prominence in Egypt, because the fulfillment of the promise would not happen in the land of Canaan. The fulfillment of the promise would happen in the land of Egypt. And so God had to get Joseph to Egypt to fulfill the promise. And what the brothers thought, let me fast forward, in putting him in a pit, in selling him to the Midianites while they were on their way to Egypt, was stopping or hindering the dream. But it wasn't hindering the dream, it was helping the dream. See, now you know how to go in on your job and smile at the people who meant ill will toward you. Now you know how to attend the family reunion with relatives that can't smile at you because God has prospered you. What you are doing, every word you're saying, every act you are committing is not hindering God. It's helping God bring me into the fulfillment of his promise. You need some haters. You need some enemies. You won't get a prepared table without enemies. Every now and then you ought to go by Dollar General and go to the card section and get a thank you card. I'm preaching better y'all saying amen. And write a nice, lovely note on that card thanking your enemies for being your enemy. Because what they are doing is not hindering God. It's helping God push you closer to the promise. Watch the text now. His dream then come to pass, or wasn't fulfilled in Canaan. It was fulfilled in Egypt. Watch the text. In Genesis chapter 42, verse 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Genesis chapter 43, verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to the earth. Notice Genesis 44, verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Three times they bowed. While Joseph was in Egypt. But let's rewind. Genesis 37, Joseph is at home and he has dreamed. And God has revealed the prospect of the advancement. But then notice he also deals with the purpose of the prospect, in that the purpose of Joseph's dreams was to comfort him on his long, lonely road to greatness. Listen, where God is taking you, everybody can't go with you. You can't pull everybody with you. Because sometimes in pulling people with you will cause trouble in the camp. Come here, Abraham and Lot. God says, you go to a land I'll show you. Leave your kindred. Somewhere in the process, he took along Lot with him. And when he got into the foreign land and the land couldn't contain both, it caused conflict. But the conflict could have been avoided if he would have left Lot where Lot was. Some people you have attached to your life have been nothing but trouble. Some people God is trying to cut out of your life and you are yet reaching to pull them back into your life. Listen, God has both divine addition and divine subtraction. That there was purpose of the prospect. That the journey would be lonely. And he would have to endure without his brothers, without his father, and without his mother. A 17-year-old boy would have to go through such a process to get to the promise. You know, I've learned that it's better to deal with your giant young than when you're old. You know, it's best to conquer up front than to have to deal with some stuff on the back end. On the tail end, you know, on the rebound. 17 years old. Had a hard life young. But God was using the process to not only position him, but to prepare him. That you need some hardness. You know, as parents, we try to shield our children from so much. With forgetting that all we went through has really shaped and molded us in being the people we are today. But yet we want to shield them and keep them from hardship, hardness. Little Trinity Joy, you know, she has a way of trying to get out of wearing certain shoes or wearing certain clothing. She says to her mother, they're going to laugh at me. I'd be wanting to tell a baby, they laughed at me all their life, all my life. It's all right for folks to laugh at you, but we're trying to shield them from things that will shape them and mold them. But Joseph had to endure the process alone with God. See, sometimes God will cut everybody else out of your life so he can have a one-on-one with you. In your process, so you won't be so dependent on them, but you will only be dependent on, come on, y'all help me point up at him. Somebody in here got some him faith. You don't have them faith, but you have, come on, help me. I know it don't sound right. It's not proper English, but it sounds good. I got some him faith. We see the author of Joseph's dream, but then we see the animosity of Joseph's brothers. Notice what caused animosity. Being favored. Whew. That he was favored by his father. The verses 3 and 4, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, it's no secret that Joseph loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. You remember when he went to his uncle's house and he worked in agreement to marry Rachel? Worked 7 years, and on the wedding night, unveiled his bride. Oh! You are not Rachel. Went to his uncle, and his uncle said, well, you have to settle with Leah, but you got to work 7 more years for Rachel. Leah was fertile. She could have children, and she had children, and she thought that he would love her because she was having children for him. Let me kind of help some of you. I know I'm on thin ice, but I'm going to walk it. Hey, he's not going to love you because you got a baby by him. Baby, there ought to be some love before the baby. Leah, help us understand that regardless of how many children you have by him, he'll never love you like he loves the woman of his eye. His love was for Rachel. Seven years he worked, and he got Rachel. But her womb was closed. And so it took a long time. While Jacob or Israel was having children by Leah and the handmaid. Rachel's womb was closed. And so finally God opened a womb, and out came a bouncing baby boy. And you know how old men are. About having a child in his old age. I can talk about it because I was 40-something years old when we had Trinity. It's just something about holding the hand of a little baby, you know. Some people thinking it's your grandchild, but no, it's the child. Run across some people, oh, Reverend, you got a real pretty grandbaby. Thank you, baby, thank you. I don't tell them no better. I just go on with it. But he was proud of the boy. So he made him a coat of many colors. But the coat of many colors literally refers to a shirt with the long sleeves. Special type of ornamented multicolored garment. That it had sleeves that reached the hands. And the hem of the garment reached the ankle. And the multicolored garment marked Joseph as the chieftain, as the overseer, as the man in charge, as the one above common labor. And when Jacob gave Joseph the coat, it identified Joseph as Jacob's heir. when his brothers saw the youngest identified as the head of the house, it angered them. And so they couldn't speak a kind word. He was favored by his father. But wait a minute. He was also favored by God the Father. Now, people may stop or hinder, hamper some of the things your earthly father wants to do for you. But they can't stop your heavenly father. That he was favored. And because he was favored by both his earthly father and eternal father, he was hated. He was hated. I got to quit. And the more God showed himself favorable to Joseph, the more animosity his brothers raised against him. Listen, brothers and sisters. Their effort to defeat the plan, purpose, promises of God in Joseph's life only helped fulfill. See, that's why Romans 8 is so important. That you need to really work in your spirit, Romans 8, so you'll see all things right. And you'll be able to praise God in the midst of it all. Listen, all things are working. And all things literally means all things, the good, the bad, the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, all things. The positives and the negatives are working together for your good. And their animosity pressed him forward to the promise. Now, I'm finished. But I want you to see Joseph as a shadow of Christ. Because in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph told his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." But Jesus said some of the same in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. He says, "They hated me. And they'll hate you. But in hating the hostility that Pharisees and scribes had toward Jesus caused Jesus to hang on an old rugged cross. They thought they were shedding him down and shedding him out, hindering him from being the king, the savior of the world. So when they whipped him all night, because they were hostile, fulfilled the plan, pushed him toward the promise. When they ripped him and stripped him of his clothes, hostility, they were pushing forward the plan. When they pressed a crown of thorns on his head and took a stick and hit to press the thorns deeper in his head. Hostility. They were fulfilling the promise, satisfying the plan. When they plucked his beard, so where he bled from his beard. When they put him on that purple garment to mock him as king of the Jews. When they put that old rugged cross upon his shoulders, and marched him up the Via Dolorosa. They were fulfilling the plan and promise of God, because he had to die for us to be saved. And what Joseph said in Genesis 50 verse 20, that God meant it for good to bring about that many people be kept alive. That's why we're here today. That's why we're on our way to heaven. Because of religious leaders' hostility that God can use bad situations. God can use bad people. God can use bad and evil intentions to fulfill his plan. So I thank God for Joseph, that Joseph had dreams, but God was revealing to Joseph the end or his destiny. But there was a lot in between the dreams and the fulfillment of the dreams. That's why I came to encourage you that you got to press on the upward way. You got to press and pray on and praise on. As preachers, we got to preach on even when times are hard, because God is using all things to fulfill his promise. Shake your neighbor's hand and said, neighbor, I can thank God for the good. I can thank God for the bad. I can thank God for the evil. I can thank God for the good. Because all things are working together for my good. Will you help me close this New Year's sermon by turning to your neighbor and said, neighbor, regardless of what comes and regardless of what goes, regardless of how you treat it, you got to keep your hand in the master's hand, because he didn't give you them faith, he gave you faith in him. And because of him I live, because of him I move, because of him I have my being. Ain't he alright? I thank God for my troubles. I thank God for my trials. I thank God for my tribulation. I thank God for my ups. I thank God for my downs. Because through it all, I've learned how to trust in him. I've learned how to take him at his word. Ain't he alright? If you know he'll be with you, let me hear you say, yes! The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. Everyone to your feet if you will. Don't you allow other people to stop you from dreaming God's dreams. And when you dream the dreams, wake up and apply yourself to the fulfillment of the promises in the dream. He's the author of your dream. He gave Joseph the dreams. Took some chapters later for the fulfillment to come to pass. Dreamed in 37, fulfilled in 50. There's some chapters you're going to have to go through. before the dreams are realized or fulfilled in your life. But through the chapters of hardness, heart knocks. Trust the Lord. Let Him lead you through the chapters that don't read favorable, that don't seem favorable. But I've given you the answer that all things are working together for your good. You already know how you're going to come out. So don't despise the process. Don't doubt God in the process. Listen, as God is working with you, revealing to you what He's going to do in your life, expect people to be upset and hate you. Everyone is not for your success. Everyone is not desiring that you live a blessed life. Listen, you have to get to the point where you get over what people think about you. Long as I see the evidence of God's hand in my life, can I say it like I want to say it and how I feel it? I ain't setting people. Got to get to the point where you stop staying up all night worrying about what folks saying, worried about who don't like it, how they gonna react. Come on out, live your life for the Lord. Live your life as His marquee, that He can get the glory out of your life. Joseph, he shows us the path. Jesus shows us the path. Like they hated Joseph, they hated Jesus, and they hate you. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come. Come, come. Give the Lord your life before it is eternally too late. Give Him your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come today. Give the Lord your life. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, there are others. Come on. Come on. The Lord is speaking. The Spirit is moving. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord's house, jar. You can come by letter. Christian extends a candidate for baptism. Salvation. Restoration. Faith family, come on. Yeah. Come on, the door, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, I need to hear your congregation. Come on, let us worship together. Come on, the door still stands ajar. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Out of the balcony. Come on, from the pew. Come on. Come on, come on, bless the Lord. Come on, come on, there's another. Come on, bless you, baby. Come on, bless you. I saw you coming from the balcony. Come on, come on, come on. 2023 for you. You started out strong in 2023, but you fizzled. You faded. Your commitment level plummeted. Come. Come on, one more round, choir. Come on, come on. Sister Clerk, who?
Samuel E. May, candidate for baptism.
Amen. Samuel E. May. Come on, let me just see this guy. Amen. To be baptized is to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be identified, you have to believe in your hearts that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. Do you believe Jesus came from heaven?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right. Do you believe he died on the cross of Calvary for your sin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Do you believe God raised him from the dead the third day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can you believe in your hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all of your sins?
Yes, sir.
All right, that means past, present, future sins, all of your sins, that you are, from this day forward, eternally saved. You'll never be lost again. Even when you find yourselves in trouble and hard times, and you'll learn of that later in life. But, you know, sometimes we doubt, but you eternally saved. That you can never be snatched out of the hand, plucked out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you tell him thank you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you for these that have come. Lord, saving their souls on this first Sunday of the year 2024. Lord, you are in their hearts.
You have made them new. Old things are past. And behold, all has become new. Lord, I pray for the parents that they have a huge responsibility now of making sure they are properly taught the Word of God, that they are led in the right way. And Father, as a church family, we help them teach and train. For the Word says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they are old, he or she will not depart from it. So Lord, bless us to help this family or these families train them up and teach them the way. In Jesus' name. Forgive, save, seal, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You want to rededicate? All right. All right. You want to say anything?
I just want to thank God for everything, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even be here, you know. Just thank God for everything.
Amen. Hold on. 15? 16? All right. All right. Handsome fellow. 16 years old. Amen. God got a lot of work for you to do. And don't, what you got there, man? What is that? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Bless him, Lord. Keep him. As the Word has washed his feet, make him strong. Give him the courage to stand and be different among his peers, even adults that surround him. They'll see your mark on his life. Lord, that everywhere he goes, he cannot fit in, but he will be different. For your glory, his good, and the salvation of others who will see his life as an example and desire you to save. Forgive him, Lord, and keep him. Build him up on every leaning side. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Next Sunday, they'll be baptized. It's good for you. All right, all right. Next Sunday, be baptized. Now, you have mom and dad, granddad and grandma here with us at the church. All right, your mom is here. Where's she? Where's mama? Okay, come on down here. I saw her walk down. I want someone to come and partner with mama. Well, you're going to be with your grandbaby. Miss Hutchins, you coming? Yeah, she's coming. You're going to be her accountability partner. If she missed one Sunday, call her. You mama? So nice to meet you. Amen. These your babies? All right. Listen, Miss Hudson is your accountability partner. So she's going to have an eye on you, the babies. So if you miss, she's going to call you. Now, when she calls and you miss, answer. Don't look at the call ID. I'm messing with you. All right. All right. And I want you to be her accountability partner. All right, so y'all meet each other here on Sundays. All right, baby will be baptized, both of these two, and we're happy to have him as being rededicated and committed to the Lord and looking God to do some awesome things in his life. All right, bless you, bless you. All right, you accountability department too. All right, you got two, you have two. All right, y'all go with them. Y'all go with them. Scripture for our communion service, if you're able to stand, stand. We ask our deacon brethren to come. If you haven't been served a communion couplet, please raise your hand. Which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. Every head bowed and eye closed. Father, we thank you for this moment of communion where we as a family, a faith family, Lord, can honor you by the observance of this ordinance, the Lord's Supper. Lord, we thank you for Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary, died in our place for our good, that by his blood we are healed and we are forgiven. We have peace with you and peace that comes from you. Lord, now forgive us of all our sin, creating us clean hearts and renew a right spirit within us. Forgive us for relational flaws and mishaps, and help us to be better. That if we have an off, or if we know our brother have an ought with us or against us, that we go from the altar and be reconciled to our brother. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
your blood done sign my name. Oh, the blood done sign my name. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Oh, the blood done signed my name. I'm so glad. I'm so glad the blood done signed my name. I'm done sign my name. Oh, the blood done sign my name. Was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood of Jesus. One day when I He died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God's grace, peace, and love, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen.
Amen.